Well, here I am again. It's the news, according to me. It is Tuesday morning already, June 4th, 7:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am exhausted. I have had a... I've had a very busy 6 days. The past 6 days have been very busy. Probably be able to tell in my voice. I didn't realize I was, my voice was getting, showing signs of fatigue until but this morning. I really haven't talked to anybody this morning much. I talked to my wife a little bit, but I've been up since about 5 o'clock, 5:30, something like that. My dog started barking. Wanted out, wanted food, all that stuff. And I noticed yesterday my voice was kind of messing up a little bit. And I wasn't doing a whole lot of yelling or talking or anything for the last 6 days. It was just fatigue. Had a couple of nights, I think it was Friday and Saturday night both, basically had about, I was at a hotel for about 8 hours both those nights, if that. And got very little sleep. I was working couple long days there. Was not expecting any of that at all. I kind of expected some work here with the transition of the months typically has me kind of busy. Typically. But this was more than that. It was just a lot. A lot more than I expected. So, needless to say, there was no time spent on the boat for the weekend. I had a show on Friday, a short show. Did I have a short show? I think I did. I didn't have one yesterday. Yesterday, I got up about, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, yes, it was. Actually, I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was gone by 5 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't get home last night until about midnight. I ended up going to a little island. I had to go to Miami yesterday and then go to a little island. The little island of Eleuthera. Interesting island. Place I might actually move there sometime. It's one of those little islands you don't hear about much. But I'm thinking, I was talking to a guy who actually lived there yesterday. It's quite fascinating. He actually grew up there. And I don't know. It's kind of a weird economic situation there. But I think sounds to me like it's a kind of place where, of course, you have all these issues with islands. You don't realize it until you get there. But it's typically, it all looks like paradise when you're there visiting for, a little while, a day. But then you realize, you got to have food. You got to have, there's got to be restaurants. There's got to be, you can't just go to Walmart to get what you need. It's whatever's on the island is all there is. Amazon doesn't deliver in 24 hours there, probably. Maybe they do. I don't know. Everything's got to be more expensive because it's got to be shipped in. There are very few things that are actually produced there on the island, probably. So it's kind of one of those, you always think about internet service and all that kind of thing. Maybe that's the whole point, is you get away from all that crap. Just kind of live your life. I don't know. It's a thought. There's a place that I could park my boat. And property there is not very expensive. I was shocked at the value of the property there. It's comparable to Indiana. Which I don't know how long that's going to last, but yeah. So, having said all that, back to getting. We got to get all this other stuff. The left is ramping up. all about, they're just all talking about what's in my cup. I have my chai with Cinnabon creamer. I don't have a backup cup this morning. I do have a little bottle of water here just in case I have an emergency. Whatever that, I don't know what that even means. I don't know what kind of emergency I would have in the sound booth here. I do have a couple of voiceover jobs to do this week, which is, that's always good. Because that's where I really enjoy doing that. And it's really where, you know, that's really where my future lies. My future that I've, all, you know, all 5 or 6 years that I have left to live, maybe. I have a, yeah. That's good chai. I haven't had chai in 6 days. Well, yeah, it's been 6 days. It's been 6 days since I've had chai. Good stuff. However, I am brewing right now. I am brewing a gallon of sweet tea for the rest of this week. I do have the rest of this week. I will be home. And at this point, it looks like I'll have a show every morning for the rest of the week. So fear not. I will be here with all the news. It is the news, all about the news, and what I think about the news, most importantly. And speaking of that, let's continue on with this whole thing. The interesting stuff that's going on right now, they're putting their narratives together. All you're hearing about now is convicted felon, convicted felon, convicted felon. And of course, people are not as stupid as they think they are. In other words, as the left thinks they are. Maybe the diehard folks that are on the left, you know, go along with all this stuff. You literally have to have Trump derangement syndrome in order not to go along with any of this. There's something mentally wrong with these people. I talk to a lot of people who are, I would consider them to be independents. They're left-leaning. Most independents are. Most independents will vote on the left if they think, you know, because they want to feel like they have compassion. And they don't want to feel like they're, I don't know, they're just not, you know, they want to feel like they're, well, we need to do something to help people. And that's where they get you. And by that, I mean, it's not that we're not supposed to be emotional. It's not that we're supposed to be hard-hearted or not tender towards the needs in our community. That's not it at all. It's this idea that the government is going to be efficient in doing this. They want to give other people's money away. They don't give their own money away. And in many cases, when the Democrats, the radical people who are out screaming in the streets, they're the ones who want the benefits. They're out there protesting to take from someone else. They're very generous with other people's money is what it amounts to. And of course, they play on the hearts of those who would be generous and feel like, well, we just need to, yeah, the government, we just need. No, the government is not a social group. The government is there to empower and protect, implement, and sustain an environment in which we, the people, have the freedoms to practice our generosity, whether it's through religion or whatever it is, as individuals or as associations, as groups, whatever we are. It should come from the private sector. And most of the Marxists in this country do not understand that. And most of the world does not understand this concept, this principle. It was a new experiment when it happened on a grand scale. And it is still an experiment that continues to go. When we help out another country, in other words, when we nation build as a country, and we help them work on their constitution, Why don't we hand them ours? We go in there and help try to start democracy, and yet we all we do is implement a structure and a framework that encourages dictatorship, which is why we have to go in again. We don't have to. I mean, I'm saying that's what they think they have to do. They have to continue to go in and keep re-engineering these societies that we're playing with all over the place. It's amazing to me that how the and this is where the deep state. There's a book out right now. It's called The Deep State. Listening to a guy being interviewed, it was very good. It was on Prophecy Watchers. I think it was Mondo. It's actually interviewing this guy. Very knowledgeable guy. In fact, I was listening to this guy, and I was listening to the stuff about the book, and because they started talking about conspiracy theories, and this is what my book is about. And at first, I thought this guy's writing my book, or he wrote my book. Now I don't have a book anymore. The guy stole my thunder. But no, he didn't steal my thunder. And besides that, there's plenty of other. This is kind of like the old argument that, well, we've already got one of those. We don't need another one. Back when I was a kid, there was one radio station in our community here, one Christian radio station in our community. And it's WFRN. And we had this was probably back in the 1980s, mid-80s, early 80s. And I actually wanted to start a radio station. I was really interested in it. I was looking into what it would take to start one. And I thought we'd have another Christian radio station. Now at the time, the problem I had with the one we had at that time was they were playing, the music that they were playing was very, it was like classical music, and which it was all good stuff. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't anything wrong with it. But the contemporary Christian music thing was starting to come onto the scene. It was just in its fledgling years. It was all new. It's very different now. CCM is still out there, but there's also worship music. I think that the more popular part of the music spectrum, the modern music spectrum, is more worship related music, not necessarily just Christian music. The Christian music that was popular back in the 70s and 80s was more of a story. It wasn't really worship music. It was more preaching or the gospel. It was gospel music. It was music about Jesus, music about the Messiah, music about God. Music today, I think, is more of a, we start to sing more prayerfully. And this is one of the things that I have an issue, and I'm just going to go off on a side topic here because that's what I do. One of the issues that we have, I think, with the people I just want to sing the hymns. I just want to, we can't be having all this contemporary music. I really want us just to sing the hymns. Now, that's fine. If you want to just sing the hymns, just sing the hymns. But realize, this is what I've pointed this out to people who've been in the church for 50, 60, 70 years. And when I challenge them with this question, it stumps them every time, and they start to realize, hey, there's a difference in the music, but it's not that it's there. Maybe there's something to this. And here's what I challenge them with. I usually say, okay, you know all these hymns. You probably got a lot of them memorized. You sing the same ones. You know, you sing the same 20 or 30 hymns every week in church all year long. And you have the seasonal hymns that you do, and then you also have the other things that you do. And you sing these particular hymns every week. And you have your favorites, and that's great. So you know these hymns pretty well, probably better than most people in the world out there, even in the Christian world, the modern Christian world anyway, if you go to a contemporary church. So I challenge you. Tell me, just give me the list of five songs, five hymns that are songs sung to God and not just about God. I have yet to find anyone, any lay person in the church. Now, a hymn director probably could find five. They won't find 10. Somebody who's heavily involved in the music industry, they can probably name off five songs, hymns, that are actually songs sung to God, that aren't just songs about God. In other words, the words, you can sing something to God. There are testimony songs and there are theological songs. Well, there's just such deep, rich theology in those hymns. Some of them. So there's some bad theology in some hymns, by the way. So if all of your theology is based on what's in those hymns, you're missing the boat in a lot of places. But however, there are some very good ones, and there's some very good theology in some of those things. And it's great to sing about God. No, don't get me wrong. This is awesome. It is still a form of worship. It's great to sing about, to give a testimony in music. That's great too, whatever you're doing there. But realize that what you're doing mostly is talking about God and not talking to God. Now, the worship music, the more contemporary worship music that's happening today, I could name 20 songs right now that are songs to God and not just about God. And I would venture to say there are hundreds. Most of them are songs that are more, if you look at Paul Balazs, he calls it singing our prayers. Because it's worship music. It's music that we're trying to connect face to face with God, not this ambiguous thing. And I ask them, okay, so you got kids, you've got grandkids. When you get together and you're in the room and they're all talking, do you like to have them talk to you or talk about you? When you're right there in the room with them, do you prefer them to talk to you and have a conversation with you? Or would you rather listen to their conversations among themselves talking about you and how wonderful you are? Because that's what we're doing. It's not a bad thing to hear them speaking well of you. That's not a bad thing to remember things that you've done and talk about the good things you've done in your life and the inspiring ways that they've affected your life and the positive things that you've done. Talking to each other about that, that's wonderful to realize that they noticed those things. Notice how you made them breakfast every day, sent them off to school with clean faces and clean clothes. It's all great. But it's even nicer when they just have a conversation with you. How are you doing today? How's little Johnny? Are you going to go on a picnic this weekend? Just, life, talking about life. I'm sad because I lost my dog. I'm happy because I scored a touchdown. Whatever it is. Most of them will say, well, if I have to choose between one or the other, I'd rather talk to them and not just hear them talk about me. So why are we so angry and bitter about all this popular pop culture, they're calling it, this noisy music these kids are singing today? I tell you, when I'm leading worship and there is a group of college-age kids, high school, college-age kids, who are shouting at the top of their lungs, giving praise to God, giving just their wholehearted longing to worship Him, noise coming out of their mouth. That's pretty powerful stuff. It's kind of fun. So I don't know. I know I'm off on a side topic here this morning and not wasting a lot of time, but I'm taking a lot of time that could otherwise be spent talking about, you know, dull and boring things. But these are the things we don't talk about much in the church, and it's just I feel like, because I've done a lot of work with small churches that are trying to be, the pastors are struggling because they see that their young people aren't coming to church anymore. The older folks, they're dying off, and all they want to do is sing hymns, keep things the way they were. They don't want to see what's going to connect with the younger generation. And we just live in a different time. It's a different time, and it's just, there's a different culture there that we need to reach. And it's just, yeah, it's not good or bad. It's just the way it is. So, having said all that, let's talk about a little bit about what's going to happen this week. The rest of this week, I've got some things I want to play, audios that I want to play. My cat now has decided to scratch on my sound booth here. And as we look at what has happened in the last week with all the indictments and all the supposed 34 felony charges and what that all means, now, the Republicans are finally, and some of the people who are actually, they're actually asking the right questions. Sebastian Gorka was, you know, that one lady who was eviscerated by just, I'm surprised she still has a job, folks, really. Jordan Peterson just sliced and diced her. She kept saying, so you're saying this, so you're saying that. He said, no, I'm not saying this. I'm saying, you know, and then he would make his statement. And then she would again jump to conclusions and imply, and so you're saying this. No, it's not what I'm saying. Well, it's Sebastian Gorka. If you listen to this interview, I'm sure the people who worship her or think she's wonderful and great think that Sebastian Gorka was just he was the problem. She would ask a question that needed a deep explanation, and she didn't want to have a deep explanation. She just wanted to have a yes or no answer. If you want a yes or no answer, a short answer, then you need to ask a more concise question. And he just made her look like an idiot. Now, she has a radio show. She has a podcast or whatever it is. So if people aren't seeing what she's actually doing here, but what she was actually doing, if you watch the video, she's because he keeps asking her, what's the crime? What was the crime that Trump was? Well, everybody knows what it is. We all watch the. Well, then if everybody knows what it is and it's so easy to explain, then just tell me what the crime was. What was the crime? What was the crime he was charged with? Well, there were 34 counts. Well, what's the charge? What's the count? What's the illegal thing he did? Well, he paid $134,000 in hush money. Hush money. They call it hush money. This is called an NDA. It's called a non-disclosure agreement. You call it hush money, whatever. That's a slang term. But it was a non-disclosure agreement. And it really what it is it's extortion. And it's Trump was the one being extorted. Now, if you listen to Stormy Daniels, whatever her name is, if you listen to that whole thing, she has gone all over the spectrum in terms of what happened and what didn't happen, and either it did or didn't happen. She's lied about whether it happened or not. She's lied about whether it did happen or not. It's just, you can't tell because she's been on both sides of this issue. And of course, Michael Cohen, convicted perjurer, is the main testimony guy in this whole thing. And what they're doing is they're tying this. They're saying that he used campaign funds to pay her off, and now don't forget, Congress has a fund with millions of dollars in it to pay off people when there's indiscretions in Congress so they can hide their stuff that they do. This is a formally done in Congress, by the way. They don't talk about it at all. You won't hear about this much. It's all kind of a backdoor agreement with these guys, all people have. It's disgusting. Well, it's what's disgusting about it is that the way they're just the hypocrisy in this whole thing. Now, having said that, okay, so yes, suppose this money was being spent. Now, what Donald Trump knew about it and whether or not he was involved in directing this whole thing or whether it actually happened, I don't know. And I don't care at this point anymore. It's way beyond that now. We all know that Donald Trump has not been the most moral individual on the planet. He's not Billy Graham. Shocker. So she's going after Sebastian Gorka. She's asking him these questions. And of course, he comes back with, what is the crime? What was the crime he was charged with? Well, that's not the question. She went on and said, you're not answering my question. You're not answering my question. He goes, well, no, you said he was charged with a crime. And then you went on to ask the question. So I want to know what the crime is that you're talking about. Name the crime. She couldn't do it. She had to look it up. You could tell she was reading it off a screen somewhere. Probably looked at Googled it or whatever. And she still can't describe it because it's an undefinable thing. So they're trying to tie these payments made to this cover-up of funds coming from the campaign to pay off hush money to affect the campaign, to affect the election. Here's the biggest problem they've got with this is that all this happened after the election. These funds that were transferred were transferred after the election. The deal was done before the election. Surprisingly enough, she came out, you know, before the election wanting to extort him of money. Every single one of these campaign issues, the funding issues, whether they falsified documents or not, they're all well beyond statute of limitations. All these things happened in 2018. Well beyond the statute of limitations. It's 5 years. So those charges, so they changed the rules and they said, well, if he was guilty of these things, then he was using it to cover up. So it's in the furtherance of another crime, and then it becomes a felony. And the fact that, and she said, well, this was done in you're questioning a judicial system. You're questioning the legal system in America. That's a dangerous slope to go down. Well, first of all, Sebastian Gorka, any individual who questions the judicial system in the country does not damage the reputation of the judicial system. The judicial system, you know, destroys its own self, basically. Now, if the judiciary itself is starting to question itself, then we have other issues. When you have people who are, and when we do this, this happens every day in Congress. They're constantly trying to destroy the judicial system. They're trying to activate it into a activist judge, activist situation where you're legislating from the bench. That's the way they want to have legislators or judicial system. They want to have Supreme Court judges who legislate, who do what the will of the people is, not what the Constitution says. Well, I know the Constitution says this, but we really need to, you know, go this way because that's more palatable. No, you're supposed to be blind. You're supposed to just look at the law and say, this is what the law says. This is the way it is. Bam, you're done. Sounds cold-hearted, but guess what? That's why it works. When you start getting into this mishy-mashy, then you start changing precedent. You start changing everything else. Every little thing affects everything else within the law. Well, this is a longstanding tradition. And they tried to go with this when they were trying to get rid of Roe v. Wade. They were trying to toss out Roe v. Wade, send it back to the states. This has been a longstanding tradition in our country for 50 years. Okay. Guns have been a longstanding tradition in our country for many, many more years than that, and you're trying to get rid of them. So what? You can't have it both ways. I want to get rid of the Second Amendment. It's been a longstanding tradition ever since our country was born, from the day one. And yet you want to get rid of that. But oh, by the way, you know, back in the day, was it 60s? Roe v. Wade? It was 67, I can't remember for sure. But we can't get rid of that because it's a longstanding tradition. And they're telling us that, you know, Donald Trump is going to destroy democracy. He's going to jail his political opponents. Meanwhile, they're jailing their political opponents. The lunacy of these people. Well, we got to jail him before he jails us. Oh, because that's what he's going to do. Yeah, he's going to destroy the world. He won't leave. He will never leave. He will never leave. Oh, he left the first time. Well, that was because he had to. Oh, so he won't leave the second time because he didn't have to? He won't have to leave? I don't understand. If he gets into power, see they look at it as, that's what they call it. You're getting into power. You're going to be the one in power. It used to be you were the one in service. You were the one who was called to be a servant to the people, not the one who was power to have overlord, to be the overlord of the people. That's the way they see it. They view being in office as the having power over the people, being the parent, being the benevolent dictatorship. It's really what they want. That's what they don't like Donald Trump being the dictator because they want to be the dictator. Because they're insane. The basic founding principles of our nation, of our Constitution, of the Federalist Papers, everything else that happened. And I disagree with some of the things that they talked about, some of the people that were involved. But it's we have a document that is, by and large, far better, and a system that has actually been far better with the checks and balances that are there. And there are people who are saying, "Yeah, well, I trust the system. I think it's going to work out. Everything's going to come out. You know, this is going to go to appeal if it's allowed to go to appeal." See, there's some things here happening in New York that are well beyond normal, and we have to understand that they could very easily change things to the point that there may be no escape from this. Now, people are saying, "Are they going to sentence him to jail?" Oh, no. They won't put him. Megyn Kelly doesn't think they're going to put him in jail. There's several other people who just don't think it's going to happen. Well, I'm sorry. You don't understand. Apparently, you don't understand Trump derangement syndrome. And you don't understand the left the way I understand them. These people will stop at nothing. Now, I don't think it will create a civil war. Now, here's what will create a civil war. You have people now, and here's what I see in the. I also want to talk about this. This is happening. Charlemagne, this guy that has the Breakfast Club. I'm not going to call him by his last name because he's not one. And I'll get into that later, sometime. He's got these people calling in. And this is mostly minorities. You know, they're not. These aren't. His fan base is not basically. You know, they're calling in and they're saying they're supporting Trump more than ever. Now there are people powerful people on the left. This one guy donated $350,000. He was a Clinton voter in 2016. He bought all in to this idea that the election was stolen. In 2016, that Trump stole the election, and he bought into that whole thing, and still believes it. And he's throwing $350,000 into the Trump campaign because he's had enough. Manchin, Senator Manchin, now has become independent. He left the Democrat. He sees what's happening. Sinema, I think she left the Democrat Party. She's now independent. They're seeing what's happening here, and they're like, I can't be a part of this anymore. Tulsi Gabbard. One after another. There have been several more. They're losing traction, and this is where the Democrats, I think, are panicking at the most. So they're seeing in fact, this was on CNN. I should play this thing. They're showing how much Trump's support among minorities has almost doubled from where it was. in 2020. Now, this is mostly superficial, and I'll get into this. These people are not thinking of Trump. They're not talking Trump because they like Trump and they like the founding principles, and they're all about the conservative. That's not why they're voting for Trump. Voting for Trump because their situation now is worse than it was, than it is under Biden, or worse now under Biden than it was under Trump. They just remember how things were going well under Trump, and now it's terrible. Inflation is still more than twice what it was when Trump left office. And wages aren't keeping up. And even if they did, it's ridiculous because now the value of everything is all screwed up. Inflation is bad enough, in my opinion. I don't like inflation at all. I would rather just have the value of my dollar just stay where it's at. Thank you very much. Instead of trying to take it away, if I hold on to it too long, you want people to keep investing. It just goes on and on. So, folks, I know I've gone a little bit longer in this show. My normal weekday shows, on Friday shows, I think I'd like to go for an hour. I'm going to have a lot more audio. But tomorrow I might have some time to put some audio together. Thursday and Friday are going to be kind of busy days for me. But today and tomorrow, I actually have some time to put together some audio. So I might get some of that done today and go from there. But I will definitely... Most likely have a show every day this week. So I want to thank you once again, folks, for listening, for sharing, subscribing, for joining me in this adventure of forming opinions about political issues and spiritual issues, the issues of our world, of our life. And I just appreciate you listening, knowing that there are people out there listening to my rambling. It's very therapeutic for me, especially on days like today when I'm just exhausted. So exhausted. Last night I don't even remember driving home last night. It was just for 2 hours. It was a 2-hour drive. And I don't remember it. Well, I remember parts of it when somebody tried to, run me off the road. But other than that, I did stop and look at the boat for a little while. Just kind of patted it on the head. Thanks for being there. Sorry I haven't had any time with you. Folks, God bless. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Take care.